This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. For the rest of the hour, we're going to focus on the rising cost and rising controversy over flood insurance. We're speaking with Rick Stevens, a Concord-based correspondent for the Associated Press, who's been following the flood insurance debate. He's Northern New England correspondent for the AP. And Rick, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, President Obama just signed a new law to change how federal flood insurance works, and you wrote about how this could affect New Hampshire. But just back up for a minute, if you could, please, Rick. First off, most people get their car insurance and other types of insurance from private companies. Why is flood insurance federal?
That goes back to the 1960s, Laura, when most of the private companies got out of the market, leaving this void that the federal government wanted to fill. So they began offering these subsidized insurance policies in, you know, mostly hard-hit areas that you think of, coastal areas, Louisiana and the Gulf Coast, Florida, et cetera. But they were also offering these subsidized policies to homeowners and business owners nationwide.
So why did they get out? Did it just get too expensive? I'm talking about the private companies now.
Exactly.
Why did they decide?
It was simply too expensive for the private companies to stay in business. It wasn't lucrative enough for them.
Wow. So they got out and the federal government said, okay, somebody's got to provide flood insurance for folks. And the Fed stepped in.
That's right.
Now, President Obama, as you've written and as I said, recently signed big changes to this law. But from what I understand, Rick, this is in response to a big fix that Congress passed 2 years ago. What was the big fix supposed to do? What was the big problem that people were worried about?
Let's go back a little ways. When you start looking at some of the past storms, Katrina, of course, 2005 was a bad year for floods in general. You had Rita, Katrina, Wilma, all in the same year.
And then we had a couple of big ones here in New Hampshire.
We had a couple of big ones in New Hampshire in 2005, 6, and 7, of
right.
course. And then you fast forward, you had Irene, and then Superstorm Sandy. And this flood insurance program was literally underwater. It was some $24 billion in debt after – by the time Superstorm Sandy hit, it was $24 billion in debt. And the federal government said, whoa, we got to stop subsidizing these policies. We're going to change the way we do business. They, in 2012, adopted legislation that would automatically, starting this year, increase policies from anywhere up to 18% for a private homeowner, a family homeowner, and then starting at 25% for commercial properties. So think of condos, vacation rentals, businesses that were in these flood zones. The howls from the business community were fast and loud.
Well, 25% is a lot.
Oh, yeah. And that was a baseline. That was starting at 25% for the businesses.
So this was based on new, you know, information, new extreme storms, as you described, Rick, and new flood maps, right? What role do the flood maps play in these rising insurance rates?
Well, the flood maps put a lot more properties into the flood zone. So suddenly people who were never had to have flood insurance suddenly did. And we analyzed, the Associated Press analyzed some 18,000 communities nationwide. And places, again, you expect to see flood insurance in places like the Gulf Coast.
Florida.
Florida, exactly. Miami, St. Petersburg. But they were showing up in Keene and in Coos County and in middle America where there aren't these coastal events. So the outcry was very loud. And that last month, the president signed a bill rolling back the increases, just delaying them, not eliminating them. But they're going to phase them in now.
Okay, a couple more questions for you, Rick. I also want to invite our listeners to join us, though, as we look at changes in the flood insurance program. You've probably heard about some of these changes. Insurance rates going up a lot based on these superstorms we've been having and new flood maps that Rick Stevens is telling us about. Join us with your questions and comments, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Post a comment on our Facebook page if you'd like, NHPR Exchange, all one word. So they put out these new flood maps, and all of a sudden people in Keene or Coos County were saying, whoa, I'm not in a flood zone. Give us a little bit more there, Rick, if you could.
Sure. I spoke with a realtor on, and I'll take a place that is in a flood zone, the coastline of New Hampshire, even though it's small, 13 or 14 miles. Bob Preston has been in the real estate business down there for decades. He's a second-generation realtor down there. He, in more than 40 years, has never had a flood in his properties. And suddenly Bob is facing these 25% minimum increases in his premiums, in his flood insurance premiums. So take a look at say, a property, and these are averages, but a property now, if you're paying $1,300 annually in flood insurance, within 5 years, you'll be paying twice that. And in 10 years, you could be paying $5,000 a year in flood insurance. Bob Preston worries that he won't be able to rent his vacation properties. Homeowners worry that they can't sell in these zones.
Because the flood insurance is too expensive.
Sure. If you have a mortgage with a bank, it's going to be required if you're in that map. You have to have the flood insurance. There's no way out. So people have to hold on to their homes much longer than they anticipated or simply not sell them at all.
So this is a real hardship for homeowners and commercial building owners who are all of a sudden on this new map, didn't even realize that they were considered vulnerable. What's the other side of this, though, Rick? I mean, there was a big push, as you said, a couple years back to change this. What's the taxpayer side of this subsidized flood insurance story?
Well, that's the word, subsidized. And that's always sort of a tricky word to get around. The complaint is that people in Keene and Coos and Middle America were paying for huge storms in places like Louisiana and on the Gulf Coast and Florida and Miami. And certainly those storms are well documented. So you have some areas that are reaping terrific benefits in terms of payments, insurance payments, whereas other states like New Hampshire, since the program started in New Hampshire in 1978, about $48 million in claims have been paid in New Hampshire. New Hampshire property owners are paying some $9 million a year in premiums. So you can see the imbalance there. That was the underlying complaint.
Okay. Let's take some calls if we could, Rick. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Join us as we talk about new and controversial changes to the federal flood insurance program. Rick Stevens is with us, Northern New England correspondent for the Associated Press. This has been a big issue nationally. Rick's been looking at its impact here in the Granite State. Let's get your questions and comments in at 1-800-892-6477. And Richard's calling from Portland. Hi, Richard. Thanks for joining us. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks. We have specific experience with Portland condominiums on the waterfront where flood insurance went from $300 to $3,800.
Wow.
And
per unit.
And that per unit, yes. And the building itself has flood insurance on the first floor, but each unit, if they're mortgaging their units, has to secure $250,000 worth of coverage, and the cost for that is $3,800. And previously, the insurance was able to be transferred to the new owner from the old owner, and then that 18% or 25% wouldn't be as striking. But that was repealed. Now that the new well, the previous law is repealed. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to play out with insurance companies. Would the person who ended up having to pay the $3,800 have to? Would they get a rebate?
Well,
and what's the base for the 25 and 18% going forward?
Sure. And Richard, where are these condos that you're talking about again, please?
They're in Portland on the waterfront.
They're in Portland on the waterfront. What do you think this? What's your philosophical feeling about this, Richard? You know, the idea that, sure, it's a hardship to have your flood insurance go up so much. On the other hand, it is a federal subsidy. You guys are choosing to be on the waterfront, so there's a risk there. So I just wonder what you think about the balance there.
Well, I think perhaps people should pay their own way, of course, but such a drastic difference. Phasing it in, I think, would be reasonable, I think, but... And of course, on the waterfront, these properties are expensive. So the relative price from, say, $400,000 relative to $3,800 is not as drastic as it would be, as you mentioned, in Louisiana and the Florida coast, where more modest homes are, and the flood insurance would be the same.
Sure.
A $50,000 house having a $4,000 flood insurance would be sometimes impossible to meet.
Sure. And all of a sudden, maybe you're a tiny homeowner on a river that, you know, all of a sudden is called a risk on the new flood maps. A couple points from Richard's call. Thank you very much, Richard, for joining us, Rick. First of all, he said, sure, people should pay their fair share, but this increase was so big and so sudden.
Oh, sure. And that explains why Congress, in a rare bit of bipartisanship just this year, agreed to roll back the increases. But what's unclear, and Richard, you make a good point, that there's a lot of uncertainty. FEMA hasn't said how they will raise these rates. Yes, the maximum of 18% for a family-owned, a single-family home, that's going to happen. But how and when, we just don't know yet. The minimum of 25% per unit on a business or a rental property, we don't know how that's going to happen yet. And FEMA hasn't set a deadline for when they'll come up with new regulations. So there is a lot of uncertainty about whether those rates will be passed on to a new homeowner who must assume the rates. There's a confusion.
All right. Well, again, thank you for that call, Richard. The number 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You know, Rick, in your story, you wrote that the change would affect about 3,800 people in New Hampshire. You mentioned some of them live on the seacoast, but where else? Where were some of the surprise spots where you and the folks affected said, wow, I didn't know this affected me?
Well, I was surprised to see a great number of claims in the historical data that we compiled in the Keene area. Now, I talked to a couple of geologists and topographers who just simply explained that Keene is sort of a bowl. So it doesn't have the big water of an ocean or a major river running through it, but it has a lot of little ones that collect there. So there can be a lot of claims there. Again, we saw most of the claims were along the coastline. And in talking to Bob Preston, the realtor down in Seabrook, he said it can really be hit or miss. One home can get flooded and a home a block away might escape it just because of the way the land is carved out there.
Here's an email that just came in from Travis in Charlestown. And Travis, thank you. He says, although the flood maps added many properties to flood zones, the work seems to be faulty. In some places, the flood zone is not located in the correct location. The brook itself is sometimes not considered flood zone. However, a house up the hill on the other side of the road is considered in the flood zone. Travis says, problem number one, logistically, it's difficult to trust this work. Problem two, he says, taxpayers paid for these flood maps to be created, and now individual property owners are spending thousands to pay engineers to file with FEMA to have the property removed from the flood zone for properties that Travis says were incorrectly placed in the flood zone in the first place. So lots of confusion and controversy about these maps themselves and who should be in and who should be out.
Well, and that was part of the outcry as well, that when they first passed the law back in 2012. Now, homeowners, now, if you purchase a home and need to get a mortgage, the first thing you're going to need to do is get an elevation survey. Some of these surveys can cost hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars, depending on the complexity of the property. It's going to add to the cost of your buying that house. But there could be an upside, and Travis, you're right, there may be houses that were improperly included in the flood zones. Now, our reporting didn't go too deeply into that element of the story, but if this flood elevation survey shows you are within the correct parameters, you can be taken out of that flood zone.
Yeah, it's interesting. And as we talk so much about flood zone, thank you, Travis, for that. You know, even people who aren't in a flood zone, and I don't think I am, although I haven't looked at the map lately, Rick, there are these extreme weather events where all of a sudden it just pours for hours and hours and hours. And, you know, our basement, just like many people's, is in danger of being flooded. So should we have flood insurance even if we're not in a flood zone?
You know,
I'm not asking you to give, you know, insurance advice on the air, but.
Well, it's the you never know. And that factor drives all insurance, of course. You never know. Now, Bob Preston in Seabrook, he has flood insurance and he buys it and he swallows hard and he pays for it every year.
He's the realtor.
Yeah. That's correct. Even though he's never had a flood. But he says, I never know, especially living on the coast. So that really is, it's a personal decision from homeowner to homeowner, of course.
Is there any way to protect your home, Rick, from flooding costs without having to buy this federal insurance? Or if you want flood insurance, this is what you have to do.
There are some private companies who will offer it. You don't have to have the federal subsidized, but they're few and far between. And I don't know of any off the top of my head in New Hampshire that offer it specifically. That would be something that you'd have to talk to your broker about.
Yeah, interesting. Travis, thank you for the email. The email address is exchange@nhpr.org. 1-800-892-6477 is the number. So what happens next with this story, Rick? President Obama, as you said, signed a law recently giving people a little bit of a break, but I'm guessing eventually rates will go up.
Oh, yeah. There's no question that the rates will go up, and they'll go up by the amount that they agreed to in 2012. So, again, up to 18% annual increase for single families, starting at 25% for commercial properties. But the question is, and this still leaves a big question, is when and how will they be phased in? FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, is the agency responsible for that, and they just simply don't have the rules promulgated yet. When that will happen, we don't know.
Yeah, so annual increases, though, that's a lot. It's not a one-time increase where you say, all right, I'll swallow it. Annual increase of 18%.
These are annual increases, that's right.
Oh, that's a lot. What's the political angle to this story, Rick? You know, behind every big change like this is a lot of politics. Sounds like there's already been some politics behind the scenes.
You know, the politics was actually fairly unified. Once it was there was a terrific outcry from the business community, mostly from realtors, from homeowners associations, from tourism groups, from chambers of commerce that worried about, vacant blocks going unsold or unrented.
Because the flood insurance would be too expensive.
Right. It would be prohibitive to either buy or sell. So in 2013, both Democrats and Republicans got together and agreed that this was too fast, too soon, too much, and agreed to delay it. And of course, the president signed that last month. So the political dynamic was pretty down the middle, while the pressure from the business groups and the homeowners groups was extreme.
And I'm guessing pressures from some states were greater than others. Again, Florida, California, places that tend to have these extreme weather events and extreme flooding.
Sure, and places with a lot of coastline and a lot of vulnerability.
Is there anything that jumped out at you, Rick, looking again at this big federal program and the big, big changes that are being put into place, micromanaging it down to New Hampshire? What jumped out at you from this?
Just the huge number of the increase, the debt of the program and the fact that it could go 40 years without any kind of adjustment at all, and then suddenly they wake up in 2012 and say, we've got to increase rates by 25%.
All right, Rick, it's great to have you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Rick Stevens, Northern New England correspondent for the Associated Press, talking to us about some of the major changes in the federal flood insurance program. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. The producers are Ellen Grimm and Faith Meixel. Our volunteer is Alan Cohen. Our intern is James Pouliot. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Canoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Canoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, it's our Friday New Hampshire News Roundup. A Senate committee hears testimony on a bill to allow some patients to grow their own medical marijuana. Scott Brown finally announces his U.S. Senate campaign as Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders contemplates a run for the White House. And a Claremont substitute teacher is fired for friending students on Facebook. Send us your thoughts by email or Facebook and join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.
The Diane Rehm Show, next at 10 on New Hampshire Public Radio, where support comes from you, our listeners, and from Heritage Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electric. Tune-ups, repairs, and efficient air conditioning systems, including ductless AC for homes without ductwork, online at justcallheritage.com. And Comcast Business, continuously investing to keep customers ahead of the technology curve. Comcast Business is built for business. More at business.comcast.com.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO Concord 89.1.
WEVS Nashua 88.3.
WEVH Hanover 91.3.
WEVN Keene 90.7.
WEVC Gorham 107.1.
WEVJ Jackson 99.5.
WEVF Colebrook 90.3.
And WEVQ Littleton 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
From WAMU and NPR in Washington, I'm Diane Rehm. This year marks the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act. President Lyndon Johnson overcame a determined filibuster by Southern lawmakers and signed the bill on July 2, 1964. The new law banned discrimination in public accommodations.